So this morning I want to share with you about the whole way to heaven. I want to share with you about prayer and the power of prayer, the priority of prayer. And this is something that's been on my heart for a long time. And I really feel that God is wanting, God's heart's cries for us to be a house of prayer. A house of prayer. And so this verse in Isaiah speaks about this. Old Testament word, is it there? Isaiah 56. It says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. So in a sense, the holy mountain is the place of prayer. And the holy mountain is also the place where God is present. And so the Lord is saying, even I will bring them to my holy mountains. In other words, in the context of prayer, I believe God has made His Holy Spirit available to us, to every one of us. He's saying, I'm going to bring you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to bring you to my holy mountain. And so I want to speak about the process of prayer this morning as well. More than the priority, actually the process. How do you move to the mountain of prayer? How do you step into the presence of God? And what are the obstacles? What are the things that keeps us from praying? And it says there, and to make them joyful in my house of prayer. The place of prayer is the place of joy when you're in the presence of God. And for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus said this will be the defining thing about His house. Will be a house of prayer. For the nations, for the sake of the nations, for the sake of the city. That the Holy Spirit is calling out, crying out to every one of us to begin praying. Why? Do you know, I always ask the question, why? Why should we pray? Are we praying? And why should we pray? I mean, if God is sovereign, if God is able to do whatever He wants to do, why pray? Well, shortly, when God made the heavens and the earth and He put man on the earth, He said He's going to step back. He's giving stewardship of the earth to mankind. In other words, God said, whatever man does on the earth will determine what happens to the earth. So if we steward it badly, it's going to be a mess. But if we steward in partnership with God, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. So if we look around in the earth, we see we didn't steward it that well, did we? Just in terms of what's happening with mankind and all the pain and all the issues, all the challenges on the earth. So prayer is a place of partnership with God. A place of partnership. But I believe there's an invitation from the Lord for every one of us to say, come and partner with me. Come approach my throne. Come and meet with me. But the key thing is you need to get into His presence. You need to move to the prayer mountain. You need to step into His throne room. Many people are satisfied with, man, I said my few words, my 2 minutes, okay. Did my bit. But nothing changed and you never stepped into His presence. So you missed out. You didn't taste His fullness. You didn't taste the joy of prayer, of seeing your prayers answered, seeing the kingdom come. So our heart is really for me and Sonica, we want to see this. You see, your prayer life is a barometer of your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is healthy, there will be a manifestation of a prayer life of some form. Because how can you have a relationship with someone, but you never pray to Him, never really speak to Him, or you just do, oh, by the way, yeah, they bless my day, thank you, and you move on. That's not a prayer life. So your prayer life is a beautiful barometer of where you are at spiritually. So where are you at? How's your spiritual life going? Should we fill in a timesheet quickly? I prayed this past week for... How's it going? How's it going? And I'm not saying you must pray for 5 hours to be a good Christian. I'm just saying if there's a healthy relationship with God, there will be a manifestation of some form of prayer life. And so on Thursday night, we had a missions team meeting. And so we were praying and worshiping as a team. And then Vian came down, our boy, 7-year-old, came down. He came to sit next to me on the couch. And we were just singing. And then suddenly Vian started to sing along, but with like out of his heart, passionately. Then he started to pray in the Spirit with us, going for it. I was like, this is so cool. This is my ultimate dream, to have my boy, our son, loving Jesus. 7 years old, never too young. But I think my 7-year-old boy might challenge some of us. You know, and it's not that he plays games. He's just a child. You know, he enjoys life. But when I drive in the mornings, when we drive to drop him off somewhere, I say, Vian, let's pray. There we go. He prays. It's beautiful. But it, I can see, and we don't force it on him, you know, but I can see there's spiritual, there's something happening there. He's awakening. There's a spiritual awakening happening on the inside of him. And it's manifesting in worship and prayer. And so I want us to sort of, I want to help us. Because I believe there's some things that happens that actually keeps you and me from praying, from entering that place. I want to remove some boulders in our lives this morning. Just quickly. And with Vian, I'm thinking just in terms of the power of prayer. I mean, April last year, we had came back from Argentina. My passport was stolen. I didn't sleep for about 2 weeks. I was praying night and day for about 2 weeks. I felt so not in a good spot. I was just so challenged. Me and Sonic, we challenged. And in that time, in those 2 weeks, you know, Vian was 6 years old, and I asked. And we taught him about hearing the voice of God. But in that time that we were worshiping and praying and actually going through a very challenging phase of our lives, God was setting that up to help our son have a God encounter. So Vian went, I've never shared this before, but some of us haven't heard this. So Vian went to his room because he wanted to hear the voice of God. And when he was 5, it didn't work. He was very upset because God doesn't speak. He doesn't know if God is real and all those things. Yeah, 5-year-olds can think for themselves as well. So he went to his room, and it was in this time of worshiping and praying continuously. And then Vian lay down on his bed, and he closed his eyes. And the next moment, he came late and came and told Sonica what was happening or what happened. And he had tears running down his face, and he was sharing how, lying on his bed, he closed his eyes, and he saw a vision. He saw a vision of a light coming into the room, and then Jesus stepping out of the light. Now, and later on, he's sharing with Sonic, and his tears running down his face. He had this God encounter. It was so real for a 6-year-old. And then he shared how in this vision, Jesus brought him to church. And Jesus showed him that as the people were sitting in church like here, there were things going into their heads. And Jesus told Vian, they're being equipped to fight the devil. So you're getting equipped to fight the devil this morning. And then the Lord showed him other things that he had no way of knowing, things that we've never taught him, that his name is written in the book of life, our names are written in the book of life, etc., things like that. So what I'm trying to say is, if Sonic and I didn't go through that really, really bad time, in a sense, and we weren't like pursuing God in prayer and in worship, my son might never have encountered the Lord as he did. So what happens is, when you and I pray and when we worship, things shift in the spirit realm. Things shift. So, you know, the spirit realm is superior to the natural realm, although often we don't think like that. But God is spirit, and he created the heavens and the earth out of the spirit realm. And when things happen in the spirit, then the natural realm must conform to that. And so in prayer, when you and I pray, when we call out to God, we shift heavenly things. And then the kingdom of God can come on the earth. And so Jesus taught his disciples to pray. They asked him, Jesus, teach us. And then he said, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, whatever is happening in heaven, Jesus taught them to pray, God, whatever is happening there, bring it down to the earth. And so I believe there's a river of life flowing from the throne of God, as the book of Revelation speaks of a river of life flowing to the earth. But there are evil forces, there are demonic powers that wants to resist that, that wants to block that, that wants to keep that river of life from flowing to the earth. And I would call it, and it's hard to exactly explain what's happening in the spirit realm, but for me, the picture is there's a river flowing of life, a river of life, and then the enemy like puts boulders to block the flow of that river, or in some cases even put a mountain there. It seems like a huge obstacle, and it's keeping the kingdom of God from coming. It's keeping that life flow to come. Now, through prayer, you and I can come and we can move that mountain. And then life will flow forth. That's what Jesus said. He said, he who has faith like a mustard seed can speak to this mountain and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. In other words, I see it as a spiritual mountain. If you move the mountain in the spirit, then all things become possible to you. All things become possible to us. But are we praying? Are we taking up our authority? Do we even know how to do that? So another picture that is like you have rain coming from heaven, bringing life to the earth, and then evil wants to build like a canopy to block, to block the flow of living waters, to block that rain from falling on the earth. And through prayer, we break through that canopy, and then something shifts, even as it was with Vian. When there was something happened, and so he could have this God encounter that we can still see the fruit of. Something shifted on the inside of him. Okay, so you're getting the picture. As believers, we need to shift spirit reality so that the kingdom of God can come on the earth. So the Lord is calling us to his holy mountain. And if we want to see East London changed, if you want to see your work environment change, if you want to see your community change, which I believe we all want to, it needs to begin in the place of prayer. So there's a quote by a guy called Philip Yancey. It says, if prayer stands as the place where God and human beings meet, then I must learn about prayer. If that is a place where man and God meets, then I must learn about prayer. I must position myself in that place of prayer. So let's move those things in the spirit. Now, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 13, speaks about the spirit war. It speaks about this clash between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. And it's real. So it says there, Ephesians 6, 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. I see the armor of God as being clothed with God himself. Clothed with his glory. Just clothed with him. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So be strong in the Lord so that you may stand against the schemes of the devil. I want to highlight the scheme of the enemy against the believers in the army of God. So the enemy has been defeated at the cross. Not powerful, not a mighty army. As the enemy army is weak and useless and in terms of physical might or authority. Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven. And therefore, the devil has none. But he's a schemer. Okay, say schemer. Come on. Let's do this. Okay, come on. This is not warfare. Let's go for it. Come on. I want to stir this up in you to go for it. Okay, so it says that we may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. So how the enemy works is he works through deception to keep you and me out of the presence of God. And he neutralizes the whole army of God. He neutralizes one by one, he neutralizes us. We don't realize the power of prayer. We don't realize who we are in Christ. We do not realize that we can take up our place at the right hand of the Father and command angelic armies to move forth and shift atmospheres. Prayer turns a hapless beggar into a prince of heaven with authority to command the angels of heaven to move forth. But only in prayer. When we leave the place of prayer, then we return to be hapless beggars again, victims. victims of our environment, victims of our circumstances. But when we take up the place of prayer, we ascend to the right hand of the Father and we say, I'm going to move this mountain in the spirit right now. That atmosphere at work, that negativity, all that stuff, that heaviness, that fear that I experience at home, these things, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to move it out of the way so that I can know peace and joy and rest. We've seen this so often. The power of prayer, but so few of the army of God, the people of God, are walking in their authority. So you can shift the atmosphere. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight against people, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So in the heavenly places, not in heaven, but in heavenly places, people believe there's an in-between realm. You have the earthly realm, you have heaven, the third heaven, and then you have the in-between realm where the clashes are happening. And the Bible says there are these forces that are opposing the kingdom of God. But we need to move them. We need to move those things. You see, sometimes the problem is not in our marriage. Sometimes the problem is with what forces are influencing the marriage in a negative way behind the scenes. Sometimes the physical depression is not the problem. Sometimes there's a spiritual problem that needs to be addressed. And if we don't address it, if we try to deal it in the natural, we will never be able to shift it or be able to be set free from it. So the enemy comes to trick us, And I want to use this as a parable. The whole way to heaven. So imagine now the moment you become a believer, your spirit is made new. Your spirit comes alive. God is spirit. If you want to connect with God who is spirit, you need to be spirit to spirit. God is in heaven. Now, for a modern audience, it would say he's in another dimension. All the alien movies and stuff is always another dimension, okay? So it's true. It's just not like they say it. It's just earth and heaven, another dimension, okay? So there's another dimension. God is in that dimension. So when we start to pray, we start on the earth. But now we need to transition into the throne room of heaven. So physically, I'm not moving. But spiritually, my spirit is walking in a hallway. The hallway is on its way to the throne of heaven. So I'm walking, I'm moving until I step into his presence and it's where the angels sing. It's glorious. That's where prayer works. That's where prayer happens. That's when you're in his presence, you take up your seat next to God in the sense of there's a throne room for a throne for every one of us. We have authority and we can partner with God and we can say, we move those things in Jesus' name. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done right now. But the challenge is to move from where we are on the earth. And you have this hallway. Now you must see this in your mind's eye. There's a hallway that you need to walk. And the devil, the enemy, will do anything to keep you out of the throne room of God. So he distracts us. And he tries to get us to never get there. So you would be walking in this hallway and then suddenly there would be a door opening to your left. Ah. There's something else I could go do now. And there's another door that opens there. And the voice, hey, come over here. Or another door over there. So the enemy tries to distract us. I said a while ago, if the enemy can't get you to sin, he will keep you busy. And I must say, if we must be honest, we are busy, aren't we? We are so busy. And there's even no time to pray. And as someone has said, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. You're too busy. So that's one of the ways I believe the enemy is keeping the army of God neutralized. We are just so busy. And there's 100 different things 100 different doors that we can take that we never get into the presence of God. Our minds and our hearts are so cluttered. So that's the one scheme of the enemy. The other scheme is what the Bible speaks about, arrows, flames, flaming arrows. So the enemy shoots arrows at us, at our hearts, and at our minds. So you are, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to open my Bible. You're sitting there at your table, desk, your couch. Don't lie down in bed. It's not going to work. Have you tried it? Doesn't work. Okay, get up. And it's, we're hitting winter now, so it's even harder. Get up. Say it. Say get up. Yes, get up. Get out of bed. Find your little spot somewhere where you don't have distractions. And then you take out your Bible, and now you're going to, okay, oh, you put on some worship, you're going to worship, you're going to now move along on this hallway to heaven. So you start off, and suddenly you're distracted. It's like, oh, no, I'm worried about that work thing. Oh, another distraction, another distraction, another distraction. If you're distracted, write those things down. Otherwise, your mind's going to be wondering about those things the whole time. Just practically, just write it down. But anyway, so now you want to, but then these things come. No, you're not good enough. No. Who do you think you are? God's not interested in time with you, etc., etc. That's a flaming arrow that's coming at our hearts and our minds. And it wants to keep us from getting over there. But for some of us, we are happy with walking 2 minutes into this hallway. And we're like, whoop, ticked it. Yeah, awesome. Okay, prayed. But you never entered. You never stepped into the presence of God. You've never tasted the joy of prayer. Because it's not a burden. It's not like, oh, it's a terror. It's like, I can't have enough of this. I'm in His presence. But you need to transition into the throne room. And you need to be aware of the enemy's schemes. I believe literally there are demonic powers on this whole, on this journey, guarding the door to heaven, in a sense, to keep us out, clutter our brains, get us confused, and then, whatever, let's leave it. I'm not even going to try anymore. I would say if we could see, like, in the spirit realm, we would see, like, there are these millions and millions of hallways to heaven of every believer on the earth that has come to Christ. And so if we could look into the spirit, we'd see, like, they all start so excited. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to the throne room. I'm going to meet with Jesus. I'm so excited. I'm going to pray. Woo! And then as you further we go, no, stuff this. Let's go away. Because yeah. that's what happens. There's a battle that needs to happen on this journey. So I would say if we could see many believers start off here and the lights are bright and exciting and never get there and we never get there and we give up and we walk away. Because we're not passionate. We're not praying as God wants us to. Because we're not seeing that there's a wrestle match happening on that journey. And then we come to the conclusion, I'm not a prayer. It's just not me, you know. You are. If you're a Christian, you are a prayer. It's just you have never learned to keep on going until you break through. Keep on going until you break through. Keep on going until you break through. You know, so as in my past, I would often experience I've just learned over the years because I have experienced the throne room. I've experienced the glory of God. I've experienced this amazing place. Then I know when I'm not through yet. I'm not through yet. Come on, keep on going. Ooh, yes. Come on, let's shift. Let's shift spirit realities. This is so real to me. I mean, in April last year, that one night, I was left behind in Buenos Aires, and this will stick with me for the rest of my life. But that night, my passport got stolen, was left behind. I went back to the pastor's house. I felt around 10:30 that night. 10:30 that night, I was standing, speaking to the pastors, and then I heard a voice say to me, "Now I'm going to torment you." It was a demonic entity in that place. I was left behind, and from around 11 o'clock till 3 o'clock that morning in Buenos Aires, I was wrestling with the devil. I was wrestling with demonic powers. I felt oppressed. I wanted to, it was horrible. Then I'm dancing. I'm trying everything, because dancing's powerful. Devil hates you when you dance. So I'm dancing there in the dark, woo, and quietly, because the pastor's sleeping next door, so I'm like... Yeah, the video would have been funny. And now I'm back on the bed, I'm listening to music, and I'm praying everything, and I'm rebuking the devil. It was horrific. I was like, I'm going to make this. Around 3 o'clock that morning, I broke through. And it was one of the most profound moments of my life. Because I saw a vision, as my eyes were closed, I saw a vision of like a wall opening up. And then I saw the throne room of God. I saw a massive throne room and a big throne in the middle. And Father God saying to me, now come and ask me to bless you. Ask me to bless you. So I was like, yes, Lord. And I had peace for the first time. And I was like, yes, Jesus. I asked for South America. God, I asked for the grace of God and the presence of God in my life that will transform thousands of lives. God, I asked for the gifts of the Spirit. God, I asked for this. God, I asked for this. I was like, but I was in the throne room. I was in His presence. But it was a wrestling process from there to there. And I believe a whole bunch of things were unlocked right that night in terms of South America. Then Rio de Janeiro opened up. And now, Manao opening up. End of this month, 8,000 people, church, that they have asked me and us to come and minister. And I'm nobody. But I believe something happened when I was wrestling there. And then I entered, and I later went to the book of Revelation. The things that I saw was, I saw the sea of glass. They define the throne room of God in the book of Revelation. I saw the sea of glass opening up. I saw the rainbow. I saw it. It was amazing. But it confirmed to me the reality of what's happening in the spirit realm. There is a transition. There's a hallway to heaven that you and I need to walk through. We need to persevere. But the enemy comes and he messes with our heads. And I believe God is calling us to truly become a house of prayer for the nations. So I want to help you with something that I believe was one of the things that the enemy messes with our heads. So it's been said, let me read this, Ephesians 6:18. It says there, praying always, say always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. It speaks of continuous. So in other words, you don't start from scratch every time. You actually want to keep dwelling in the throne room night and day. So you don't have to go back every time and start from scratch and 3 hours later I'm over here. It's like I'm over here 10 minutes and I'm in. I'm in. God, let's shift spirit realities. Let's shift things as you want us to. And it's been said, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. So you might ask yourself, God, why is this Christian walk so hard? Well, you're not coming. You're not entering. Come. He wants you to. You see, it's not like God sits in heaven and says, come and persuade me. You must like, oh, fight with me now to get something out of me. He's in heaven saying, I want to give it to you. I want to bless you, but you must come and receive it. So I believe this is probably one of the main reasons. Obviously, the one reason we don't pray often is we don't understand the power of prayer and we haven't journeyed that. We haven't experienced the joy of prayer. So I'm trusting, I want to hold this before you. There's a place of joy in prayer. And then the other reason is that the enemy shoots these flaming arrows that condemns our hearts. Look at this, 1 John 3, verse 20 to 21. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Sorry, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So if your heart does not condemn you, then you have confidence to come before the throne of God. I'm coming, Dad. Oh, I know you're so excited because it's me. Your son, and you love me. And that confidence, yes, you want me to come. So the enemy shoots these arrows, flaming arrows, at our hearts and our minds. At our hearts, because he wants to He wants to wound us in our spirit so that there's another source in our hearts. He wants to wound us in our spirit. I've seen this over the years. The enemy guns for my heart. He tries to get people that you trusted or close to you or something, and then suddenly, like, whoa, now I have to deal with this. Like with Vian last week. You know Angry Birds? He loves Angry Birds. So now he's playing tennis. He has a little book. And all he's got, only missing about 8 of them. So he's playing tennis, and he put it under his suitcase. Playing tennis, he comes back. Someone stole most of his Angry Birds. Now he cried as if someone died. It was terrible. The end of his little world. And now in the car with Sonic, and now they're driving back home. And now Sonic says, you know, you need to forgive. Something along those lines. That he needs to forgive. And he doesn't want to forgive. Because those moments, it's like your heart, your spirit is wide open. Someone just, I mean, just Angry Birds, I know. But I mean, someone just defiled my heart in a sense. And bitterness can spring up from there. So now Sonic is teaching him, you need to forgive. He doesn't want to, And at some stage, he then prayed. And he said, Jesus, I forgive the one that stole. And Jesus, I know you're very proud of me right now. That I, he knows his dad is proud of him. His heavenly dad is proud of him. And he knows it's going to bless the heart of Jesus, the heart of the Father, because he's forgiving. And then we wangled it big time. We contacted a lot of people. He's got like 2 full books of Angry Birds, it seems now. See, prayer works. But it was very cute. He really believes in prayer. So the other day, I think Sonic has been to spa about 6 times already, and still he hasn't gotten the balm. Now this is the big boy key. Yeah? This is like important one, the balm. And so now they're driving to spa, and then Vian prays, Jesus, I want the balm. Now Sonic is trying to okay, you know, okay, you asked, but you know, if you don't get it, you know, just know that because Jesus is a better plan. I think it's the 7th time they go to spa and they take it, the balm. Eh? And I think the other time was Stella as well. But it's so beautiful. He, with his childlikeness, just said, Jesus, I want the balm today. And he gets the balm. Now, I don't know if it's directly the influence of prayer. It's hard to connect those things, but it's so beautiful to see his heart ask Jesus. And then he receives his things. Now the word condemn, what does it mean? This is really important. It says if our heart does not condemn us, then we can approach God confidently. The word condemn means to express complete disapproval of. And in this case, what happens is the enemy shoots an arrow into your heart, into your spirit. You take that. Something like, say something happened, somebody broke into your house, something bad happened, and then an arrow comes in and brings a seed of bitterness, of negativity, etc. And now this is the source. It's like your spirit is over here, your soul, your mind is over here. So now the source of your mind is this bitterness, this root of bitterness the Bible speaks of. A different source, a toxic source. And it influences your soul to go into negative patterns of thinking. In other words, your heart condemns you. If your life was represented by a fortress, a castle, and you have all your walls up to protect it, now the enemy comes and he shoots an arrow over the wall, and it hits somewhere inside. It's like you have an enemy on the inside wanting to destroy your fortress. This is very important. You must get this. So the enemy shoots that arrow, plants that in the inside of us, in our spirit, negativity, unbelief, prayer doesn't work, God is not real, or he doesn't like me, or he's not going to answer my prayers, etc., etc. And it influences, and it actually attacks us from the inside. So now you're walking on the hallway, in the hallway to heaven, but you never get there because your own soul, your own heart is attacking you, attacking you, attacking you. Who do you think you are? God's not going to listen to you. He's not happy. You haven't done. You're a son. There's so much stuff in your life. He's not excited to see you. All those lies. compared to the childlikeness, like, Jesus, I know you're so proud of me now. I'm forgiving. I'm being set free. So other synonyms for condemn is to attack, to criticize, to denounce, to deplore, to revile, to blame, to chastise, to reprimand. So there's an agent of destruction on the inside, and the enemy just got the process started. There you go. You're in trouble, and it's destroying you, and it's disconnecting. You see, condemnation disconnects us from the throne of God. Condemnation disconnects us from the presence of God. And we find ourselves in big trouble. But if you look at that verse, it says there, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. If our heart does not condemn us. You see, the devil is the accuser, but he wants you, your own heart, your own soul, to take those lies, and then you take up the job. You take, the devil started with a whip, negative thoughts, accusations, and then you take that whip, and you start whipping yourself. I'm not good enough. And then you'll never enter in. You must come like a child who knows his dad loves him so much. No matter what you do, I love you. Come, sit on my lap. Come, be with me. You know? So that's what God is calling us to come. So 1 John 3:22, just the next verse, speaks about the condemnation. If you don't have condemnation, if your heart does not condemn you, then you can boldly, with confidence, come to God. And then the next verse says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe, say believe, believe. And the second one it says there, and love, love one another, say love. So there's two of the keys. We must believe. How do we believe? I want to end off with this. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3. I'm just going to end off with this verse. It says there, this is David, and this connects to faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's read this together. Can we read this together? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So David taught himself to speak to his mind, his soul, to speak to himself and say, bless the Lord. Come on, come on. Yeah, we're on the hallway thing here. We're going to the throne room. It's the ascension song. We are going up the mountain of the Lord. And now we come on, believe, remember what God has done. Bless the Lord, O my soul, everything that is within me. He's good, he's loving, he's kind. He washed away all my sin when Jesus died on the cross. There is no more guilt. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no more accusation. I'm free. Soul, come on, soul. Come on, say, come on, soul. You must speak to yourself. Because you need to persevere from this side to that side. It's only over here that you have true peace and joy and courage and faith and strength to shift challenges or realities in the spirit realities in the world. But you need to speak to yourself. You need to build up your faith. You need to say, come on, soul. Let's say it. Come on, soul. Come on. Bless him. Everything. Let's say it. Everything within me. Bless his holy name. So you must literally speak to the agents that are trying to get us bitter and negative and offended and unbelieving and shameful. Because in Christ, those are all gone. They have nothing in you. But you literally need to speak to yourself, speak to your soul, and you need to persevere and go through. So I just want to highlight the five things right there at the end, hallway to heaven. Just put them all up there. Just as a summary. If you want to enter the throne room of heaven, that is where prayer happens. That is where there's joy. That is where it's powerful. You need to transition. How? Songs. Worship transitions quickly. Okay, that's an accelerator. Say no. If you're going, if you're moving there, you need to, as I preached a month or two ago, I said, if you want to say yes to Jesus, you need to say no to a whole bunch of other things. No to that door. No to that door. No, no TV now. I'm going to pray. No, not that. No, I'm not going to work. I'm going to pray. No, no, no. Close the other door. Say no. Say no. Say no to the other things to say yes to Jesus. And then, in a sense, you need to do that in your heart. If you want to be in the throne room, then you need to take up that shield of faith, which is speak to your soul. Tell it, come on, soul, get up. He loves you. Come on, no, don't listen to those lies. I take up that arrow. No, go away. And then you need to persevere. Keep going. Keep going. There's more. Keep going. There's more. Keep going. There's more. Don't settle for your 2-minute thing over here. It gets good after 30 minutes at least. I know some of us haven't tried it yet. But I promise you, it gets better. It gets better. It gets better as you keep going. And then just the last one, knowing His love. He loves you more than you can imagine. Amen. Let's become a house of prayer. Let's do it. You battling with stuff? It's not the will of God. He wants you to be free, but go into His throne room and you get freedom. Amen.